Hello, and welcome again to T2RL Talks, our periodic podcast on issues of interest and importance in the airline and technology industries. This time, we are more than usually geographically scattered in that I have in the virtual studio with me Yuna Huelu, who is our Vice President of Airline Distribution at T2RL, and a very old friend of mine from too many years ago to really remember, Mr. Timothy O'Neill Dunn, who is an independent industry expert who is currently based in Seattle, Washington. So, hi, Yuna. Hi, Timothy.
Good morning.
Greetings.
And it's evening here in Windsor, UK, where I am sitting. NDC was introduced by IATA at the World Passenger Symposium held in 2012. It was intended to be a much richer form of data exchange to allow airlines to put their products and services in front of travel sellers in the marketplace. What the experience has shown so far is that take-up of NDC has been much slower than anyone in IATA and the pioneering airlines would have wished. And take-up has also, in general, been restricted to online travel agents and travel agents who are dealing with really very simple products. So we've undertaken a piece of research with travel sellers of all descriptions to find out what it is that's slowed the introduction of NDC, what have been their experiences as they have moved to adopt NDC, and what could be done better in future to increase the speed of adoption and also to pave the way for the much bigger transformation of offer, order, settle, deliver that's coming down the pipe. So, Yuna, my hypothesis here is that NDC so far has only been adopted by travel sellers working in a very simple environment like leisure and maybe unmanaged travel. Would you agree with that?
Based on T2RL data and the input we received from the 13 companies that we interviewed for the research, I'd say that it is a little bit more than that. But generally, the airlines have tended to go with the easiest sort of 80-20 rule, right? So adopt where possible more simple types of transactions, get those working well, and then add complexity later. And in an online travel agency environment, there tend to be less requirements from the traveler than there would be in a managed travel environment, where there tend to be much more complex itineraries, where you need to add multiple airlines, stopovers, etc. So it makes sense that the uptake has been on simpler transactions to start with. And based on our 2022 data, we think that about 6% of indirect transactions are now going through NDC. So we also expect that number will have grown significantly in the latter part of 2023, and that we are going to see greater adoption in 2024.
Okay. And Timothy, you're far more accustomed than I am to working with travel agencies, especially in the North American market where you've lived for the last 100 years. What do you think has slowed the introduction of NDC in that market?
Ian, that's a really good question. To approach this, I think you have to look at the way, if I can pick up on what Yuna said, look at the way the airlines approach it, because this has all been airline-led. So I would say, first of all, the airlines saw things through the lens of the same way that they see things on their own websites, their primary websites. So if you go with you know, the majority and the easy implementation, it is the easy implementations that exist on the website. So that is a single one way, a round trip, not multi-city. Those are the sort of things that they went for first. I think what has been friction is that in the world of the intermediary travel, the travel seller, their world is more complex and they cross the boundary of what's one carrier to another. So it's both horizontal and vertical in terms of the complexity. And I think the when if you were to concentrate particularly on managed travel, one of the things that managed travel is supposed to be is the management of more complex travel. So the emphasis tends to be more on the intermediary side, the travel seller side, to be focusing on things that are more difficult that you can't easily do in a pure automated fashion. If I can add another factor here is that in general, what we have seen in the past is that corporate OBTs, online booking tools, were not as, I say, fully fledged as they want to, but they were better at handling edge cases. And it is the edge cases, which I think has really caused people to say, if I can't have X, I don't want any of it. There is this kind of friction that has always existed in airlines, is that if I can't get what I really want completely, whether or not I use it is irrelevant, then I'm going to be resistant to adopting it.
And I think some of the travel agencies have compared the available product in NDC today with what they have been accustomed to working with, which we refer to as EDIFACT as a sort of shorthand. But in fact, what they're really talking about is the whole product they receive from the GDS, which does things like aggregating airline availabilities and fares and presenting them to travel agents in ways that they can consume, and also providing all sorts of data for back office and mid office use. And I think rather than it being an issue specifically where NDC is not giving the same as EDIFACT, it's actually the whole package that they've been looking for that they don't feel they've got yet.
That's an incredibly important point about the fully fledged package. Both Yuna and I think, have actually been line agents. We've answered the phones. We've sat in front of customers. I met my wife that way. The interesting thing, I think, is that the breadth and depth of the product set that is required is something that was opaque to airlines. They did not realize how complex, particularly mid-office and back-office was. So those things in the past, in the, if you like, fully-fledged package that the GDS had, have been very mature for a long period of time. When the airline takes the responsibility of offering the product, they must consider the downstream issues that affect the product that is offered in front of the consumer. And I think that was something that was, I don't think it was deliberate. I just think it wasn't something on the airline's radar when this happened. Now that the agents, the intermediaries, the sellers are now involved in adopting these, what you're seeing is, oh, by the way, what about this? And that what about this has sort of uncovered a number of gaps in the product set that matches what was the current preferred version via the GDS. So what you end up with is GDS does everything it's supposed to do within a boundary that is not very flexible, but is there. Whereas NDC has far more flexibility, but isn't fully fledged. I think that's the way I would characterize it.
And I think there's an important point in there that we haven't brought out specifically yet, which is that the responsibility for creating the offer to the consumer moves in NDC away from the GDS and the agency working together right back to the airline. The airline is now responsible for creating the whole offer, and the role of the agent as an intermediary does change. And I think maybe some of that was not fully appreciated as NDC was introduced.
I think you're 100% right there, that the issue of removing the role of an agency has been looked at through this kind of broad view. The role of the agent was to manage the tool, which in most cases was the use of the GDS, going back to your GDS issue. And the management of that tool allowed the agent to effectively manage the way that the offer was created. When you move to the NDC world, that management of the offer process and the control of that management of the offer is far more diminished for the seller. Now, in terms of the scale of that, given that the majority of bookings are now made through some sort of API, some form of booking engine, means that it's not as important as it used to be, say, 20 years ago. But the problem is that you're now faced with the fundamental change in people's head of saying, well, I want to go from A to B, but I also want to go C and do a side trip to D. That's when things become less manageable by the person in control, which is the seller.
Okay, so let's talk about what came out of the interviews. We talked to 13 different companies, of whom I think 10 were travel sellers and 3 were travel seller adjacent, either technology providers or service providers of some kind. And my impression was that they were pretty much all in favor, in principle, of NDC as a tool to improve the information they could get back from the airlines and improve the types of offers they could get. But they were frustrated by some of the inconsistencies in the way it's been introduced. Would you agree with that, Una?
Broadly, yes. So of the 13 companies that we spoke to, everybody violently agreed that NDC is happening. It's coming, and it's something that we all need to accept and sort of move on with. There were varying degrees of sort of enthusiasm towards it, just different approaches and to how they were going to adapt to it within their business. So what we saw in the feedback shared by the respondents in our interviews is that every single travel seller has noticed the broad inconsistencies in implementations from airline to airline. So in some cases, we've got differences that are based on the airline's architecture, the technology vendors that they've employed to provide their NDC API. You've also got NDC schema version differences, airline to airline. And some of it is really down to process. Some airlines will implement the NDC schemas in a very sort of to the letter way, whereas others take more liberty with it, which means that from the travel seller's perspective, the same process of 5 steps, say, to book or change an itinerary might be slightly different and have variations from airline to airline. And that makes it quite challenging for them to adapt to. And it makes it even more challenging when you're trying to do that in an automated or at least semi-automated fashion.
Historically, travel agencies have only had to deal with one GDS, or maybe some of the very big travel agencies would have multiple GDS, but no more than 2 or 3. And now we're talking potentially about dealing with a few hundred airlines, each with their own NDC implementation. That doesn't seem to me to be sustainable in the long run.
Yes, but don't forget that the GDS has been developed and has evolved over a period of 40 years. There's been a lot of augmentation that's happened. Most travel agencies or TMCs, doesn't matter what type of business, will have additional systems and automation in places able to take data, refine it, add structured remarks into bookings, into PNRs, so that they have all of these data flows that can, you know, systems that can communicate with the mid and back office. That didn't happen overnight. That's been there, and it's been a long, long evolution.
But if we're going to do those, things with NDC, and every airline is responsible for creating its own offers, then those mid and back office interfaces are going to have to cope with 100 or 200 or 400 different interfaces. And unless there is probably a great deal more standardization than we have today, that's not going to be sustainable.
If I can jump in here, I think there's something that there's a level of maturity around this, let's call it an interface. And I don't mean that in sort of an API mean. I mean how the travel seller community interfaces with the supply side. One could use a nice industry term called the supply chain management. In the good old days, you could say that The US had a very homogenous system. I think you pointed out earlier, Ian, that most agencies, sellers, actually concentrated on a single GDS or a preferred GDS that they used. The international market has dealt with, I would say, a far more heterogeneous form of supply. And that's an important differential because they've had more time to mature to this level of accepting different sources of supply and management, ranging from, drum roll please, screen scraping all the way through to minor APIs. Because in the non-US market, there is a far greater distribution of, let's call it LCC product, and ULCC product, which has resulted in, you know, if I want to be anybody in Europe, I'm going to have to wrestle with, Ryanair or Wizz Air or Jet2 in order to send my passengers, because they're some of the only places that you can get to with some of these carriers are few and far between. Yet these carriers are flying to places where very often they are the only carrier in town. So I think the Europeans were far more, going back to this NDC world, is they were far more interested and able to accommodate this because they've had the time to deal with that. For the US market, it's very different. That has not existed because they've had a far more homogenous marketplace to deal with. And therefore, it's much more of a shock for the Americans than it is for the Europeans.
And I think we've noticed that in the sort of NDC take-up numbers, in that until maybe the last 12 to 18 months, take-up in markets outside of the US has been running really quite a long way ahead of in the US. But that's beginning to change now, isn't it? That's beginning to change because one or two of the airlines in the US are starting to force the issue in quite a big way.
I think you have a question of stick and carrot. So the if you listen to some of the airlines, and some of them, particularly amongst the US carriers, have been very vociferous. They said, look, we offered carrots for 5 years and nobody took us up on the carrots. So now we're going to apply the stick. And I think that that fundamental change, I think particularly, I don't want to pick on American, but I think American is the example here, is that when they announced that they would make a change in October of 2022 and then implemented it in April of 2023, that was a wake-up call to everybody. And you know, good on them for having recognized that that's the issue. But I think if we go back to the core of what this conversation is about, which is, how do the travel sellers, what's the friction? We have to recognize that it's very difficult to try and manage all these different competing forces. And I think we've talked about this, the fact that there is lots and lots of different players with lots and lots of different versions. And that's a lot more complex, particularly if you're coming from a nice, cozy little world that the US market used to have.
You brought up the famous metaphor of sticks and carrots, and I think we have seen that. We've seen European airlines introducing surcharges on legacy bookings to try and persuade agencies to move. We've seen some airlines in North America paying incentives to use NDC. What we haven't seen yet is the introduction of new product and new types of product that was promised when NDC was introduced to great fanfare in 2012. And I am not yet detecting any imminent appearance of radically new product for agencies to entice them into the NDC world.
What we've seen so far and the feedback shared by the travel sellers that we interviewed, which we've been observing at Titorel as well, is that NDC is a precursor for airlines to implement new types of selling, such as dynamic or continuous pricing, dynamic bundling, etc. So the pipes are there, the potential for it is there, and there are airlines that have been experimenting quite intensely with dynamic pricing, and the travel sellers have definitely noticed that. There is an expectation that there would be more new product bundles available to market, things that would actually improve the experience of selling products to travelers, but it would improve their travel experience. It would help differentiate. I think that those are potentially still roadmap items for a number of airlines who have implemented more modern merchandising platforms, for example, and it will take a little while for us to be able to see them. But there are examples of airlines that are starting to put new bundles, for example, new corporate bundles out to market, testing those. And it isn't something that you revolutionize overnight. It's something that I think the airlines are very wise to do experiments with, measure, and then iterate on and improve. So hopefully this is something we see more of in 2024.
I think if I can add to that, that's a really useful point. From my tech sort of background and product side, making these offers, these product bundles, work for a full service carrier, a network carrier, was far more complex in the old GDS-based EDIFACT world than it is today. I think the one of the things that forced people to consider NDC was, how do you create products as opposed to fare bundles? And that fundamental difference of, this is a product, this is a product set, was not something that was possible in the old GDS world. So you had to engage in a number of kludges. What NDC has done, and I think we heard this pretty loud and clear from the seller community that we talked to in those interviews, was they found that to be a little easier to deal with because finally they could actually see all these things. But I think I share with Yuna that one of the things that has started to appear is these individual offers at the seller level. So you're seeing some carriers and some agencies, let's call them sellers for the sake of this argument, being able to create these unique products. And the differentiation of that is that it's now a whole lot easier to do. So while you won't see the fact that it's actually different, you will actually see that it's a lot easier and can be more personalized. And I think that is where we're there, that promise is there. But I agree, it is the airlines have not done a good job of demonstrating that value to the seller community and also not to the corporate community or even the individual traveler.
So if I've understood that properly, what you're saying is that NDC gives the possibility of allowing airlines to work more closely and more effectively with their travel seller partners in the market to create innovative products or innovative pricing or whatever. But we're just at the very beginning of seeing that happen. We're not really seeing it in mass adoption yet.
I think, yes, Yuna said that, and I agree with her, there's been a lot of experimentation. If I go backwards to, say, 5 years ago, when you tried to create a fare bundle, yes, a low-cost carrier could do that easily in Navitaire and produce that into the marketplace. That was dead easy for them because they didn't have to think about the strictures that the GDS is placed on data records and that sort of thing. So you, the only way you could go was schedule-led or fare-led. Now you can go product-led. And so the offers are now products as opposed to fare bundles. And I think that fundamental difference is something that is coming out. And if I can fault somebody here, I think the airlines have failed to leverage that and to explain that to the community, both the trade and to the consumer, that this is now possible, that these individual things that everybody would love to have, that is unique to me, unique to my company, unique to my seller partner, those things have not been done well. And I fault people for doing that because I think that is in fact part of the problem. And if I can also go the other way, which is, there are some people who have only approached NDC, and by this I mean the airlines. There are some airlines who have only approached as transferring from one technology to another, and I think that was a mistake. And when you don't show the value, which I think, Ian, was one of your earlier points, if you don't show that value, why should I do it? That question also, I think, Yuna, correct me if I'm wrong, that came out during the interviews that the airlines had not done a lot to sell, if you like, their value-added proposition. Do you agree?
No.
Okay, that's
okay. We're allowed to disagree.
The discussion, so, you know, I kind of got that impression.
Well, what we did hear in the interviews was very mixed. there were absolutely areas for improvement that were suggested by the travel sellers. And we go into those in a lot of detail in the report. It makes for a really good read. What we did hear also were some very strong positives. And one of the main ones that we heard again and again from travel sellers was the improvement in the relationships with the airlines and the deep collaborations that have happened as a result of NDC. So where it's really been treated as a collaborative technology project, where there's an established feedback loop between the travel seller, the airline, and sometimes a third-party technology provider in between, but mainly between the travel seller and the airline, there have been some fantastic results and collaborations. And we've even had travel sellers give us examples of where they're able to see in the data now what the airline is doing, or when they experiment or make changes, what is actually moving the dial in terms of conversion, and how one airline strategy is performing versus another. They're really starting to see some interesting trends with not just adoption of NDC, but how it's being applied and how it's being leveraged to sell better. So I think that there are a lot of opportunities for improvement still, and there are areas where the airlines may not have communicated as clearly or as effectively as possible what their intentions were. I also think that the airlines' intentions evolved over the years. Compared to 5 years ago, the main objectives behind their business cases and their need to introduce NDC and what they wanted to drive from those technology investments has changed quite dramatically. And that will vary airline by airline. It'll depend on geography and their corporate strategy, etc. So it's okay for these technology projects to evolve, right? We want these to be done in a more agile fashion. There's no point determining upfront what every single outcome is going to be and then be disappointed with the result because the industry has moved on.
Okay, I'm going to be typical sort of judgment of Solomon here and say that actually you're both right, I believe. I certainly believe Una's right in saying that where there's a good partnership established, some of the results have been very valuable and in some cases quite spectacular. But I think that Timothy's right in saying that those are the few and far betweens. I think for the majority of airlines, and this may come down to a question of just sophistication and capability, but the majority of airlines haven't gone down that path yet. And maybe they will do. Maybe they'll have to if they see the successes of the ones who have engaged effectively with their travel sellers in some of the stuff that Una's talking about.
I think you have to kind of look at that journey, the maturity journey. And I think all three of us will agree that we're at early stages in that maturity journey. I think I would wish that the maturity journey was faster. I have seen carriers take a long time to accept and adopt, because carriers typically don't work as fast as we would all like, and they typically work slower than in other industry sectors. And they are conservative. So there's a lot of that has to do with the product itself, that in the past, being able to take a product element and implement it into real time was a very difficult thing for an airline to do. I think today there's, if I can use Una's term, agile. Airlines have become a lot more agile. And I think it's there's a lot of moving pieces, but the ability to manage that and productize, which is one of my favorite words, what the airline actually has and make it individual and specific to certain people, didn't necessarily come from the seller community. It came from the airlines' relationships with their frequent flyers, particularly their top-tier frequent flyers, who demanded special treatment. Having been one of them for some time and seen how the different airlines treat you, I think that differentiating factor was always difficult to implement in the old pre-NDC world of the GDS. Now with NDC, the ability to say that here is something for Timothy O'Neill Dunn, who is a high flyer on XYZ airline, that is now a lot easier and more specific. And I think we're starting to see that occur. I just I'm critical of the fact that I don't think the airlines have done enough to move as fast as they could have done.
Yeah, and I do think there is quite a gap between some of the early adopters who are pushing ahead as fast as they reasonably can and maybe a long tail of airlines who are just kind of keeping an eye open and will follow along eventually. I want to raise a couple of other issues that have been brought out in the interviews, and I think we kind of knew anyway, and that is servicing on the one hand and interline and code share on the other. So with servicing first, I think there's pretty much general agreement amongst our interviewees and amongst other people I've spoken to over the last few years that servicing was not fully thought through by the airline, shall we say, when they introduced their first go-around on NDC. And it is improving, but they're kind of playing catch-up a bit at the moment with their servicing capabilities.
I would actually go further than that, Ian. I think that servicing was not necessarily fully understood by airlines in general, even in their own channels, and that the pandemic was a huge wake-up call for many of them. And some of them would have been way more advanced in their customer experience strategy and delivery. But realizing what it takes to deal with changes to bookings and refunds and cancellations on a massive scale, as airlines had to do when they were faced with the pandemic, has really opened up people's eyes to the complexities, how intricate servicing actually needs to be, and for it to work in a way that's largely self-service and delights the customer rather than frustrates them. So then that translates into the indirect channels as well. And the first or the earlier versions of NDC, I think it's fair to say, were more focused on offer creation than they were on the actual delivery and servicing and order management aspects, if you want, of an NDC order. So part of that is the schemas have matured. We heard from the travel sellers interviewed that for some of them, they do expect that 21.3 is going to be a version that helps with some of that. And a lot of it is also down to the airline's understanding of the end-to-end process and working with the travel sellers to really map, and understand what are the steps required for this itinerary to be serviced end-to-end and what are the scenarios. And again, back to our earlier point, in an OTA environment, that's possibly a bit easier because you're selling maybe more simple return flights. A leisure customer might decide where they're flying further in advance and kind of stick to that plan because they have all their other arrangements around it. So for them, maybe schedule change is a bigger challenge. In the corporate segment, the one thing corporates do is book travel and change again. So those bookings need to be serviced regularly. The tickets need to be reissued multiple times, chopped and changed. And so the requirements for servicing are a lot more complex.
Okay. So servicing clearly is something that I think the assumption was, you know, once we give you this thing, it's a bundle, it's a package, it's going to work. That assumption, of course, comes with a lot of responsibility. And I think the challenge, if I can look at it this way, is first of all, the airlines did not consider the impact of service as much as they should do. And I agree, you know, with you wholeheartedly. That requirement for servicing really did come out in not just in the servicing of the reservation, but the servicing of, I'm going to use a bad word, ticket. That happened when tickets went awry because of the sheer amount of tickets that didn't get issued. So it was this post-trip or prevention of trip issue that came out and had to be dealt with. Those things were not considered before. So if there is something that has good that has come out of the pandemic, it is a recognition that servicing is that much more important today than it was before. But it comes with responsibility. And this is where I think, if I go back to one of our earlier points about, did the airlines realize what that responsibility was? I don't think that they did, but they do now. And I think they are actually stepping up to work with their partners in addressing that question.
Yeah. I think, to be fair to some of our friends who work in airlines, I think there were people in all the airlines who did understand
this. Yes, absolutely.
But they were not necessarily the people who were calling the shots on the NDC rollout. And it comes back to the sort of perennial issue of silos in organizations, and airlines suffer from that as much as any other industry, possibly more. As well as servicing, I did mention Interline and Codeshare, and that's still an area where NDC has not really solved all the problems. Some airlines will say, yes, we can sell you Interline itineraries using our NDC API. But as far as I can see, what they're all doing is facing the customer with NDC, but then out the back end, they're doing their Interline in using traditional tools like fare classes and schedules and RBDs and the whole nine yards. So I do think that the industry as a whole needs to take the question of interlining a bit more seriously than it has been doing. You know, IATA's got an initiative on interlining with offers and orders, but it's moving at glacial pace. And I do think the industry as a whole needs to address that and maybe even consider some more radical options for interlining, something I know Timothy is well aware of.
Yes, especially since I hold 5 patents on that subject. So yes, it is something very near and dear to my heart. I think the airlines themselves, and I want to point fingers, if I can, at the fact that the standards were never considered enough of a priority to solve the problem. So yes, it's more complex. Yes, it's difficult to deal with. But the fact is that we live in a world where alliance and code shares actually do matter. Joint ventures matter. So if I'm looking at, let's say I'll pick on Oneworld, right? If I'm Oneworld and BA and AA have this cooperative agreement in the US, BA is not present because AA handles all of that. Same with Delta and SkyTeam. So these issues of the commercial alignment let's say just deal with codeshare first of all and alliance workshop, that's clearly a deficiency. It goes even worse when you talk about pure interline. That is where I'm not in a joint venture. But I think that's has been a long term natural progression of the dying of interline, because the alliances said, look, if my alliance is so wonderful, I don't need to worry about interline. What has clearly come out in recent years is that for many different reasons, interlining actually does have a place. And there is a stubborn amount of interlining that will have to take place. Now, when it comes to the execution of this, again, you've got to think about the commercial as well as you have to think about the technical. And the commercial is probably better handled today in joint ventures and alliances than the technical. When it comes to interlining, all bets are off. It's all a mess. And I don't see a strong enough impetus to solve the problem. And I definitely don't see execution, if you like, to solve the problem. You and I have been talking about this, Ian. You and I have been talking about this for a very, very long time. And I believe that it should be. And I actually agree with you. I think that something radical has to come. And maybe this is an opportunity at this moment in time, as more and more people adopt, as we move from our 6%, that we now need to address this, because I think that the failure, and I'm going to call it that, of codeshares and interlines to easily be adopted is actually restraining the adoption of NDC as a whole.
I think that's very likely true, especially for some of the travel sellers we've been talking about who are dealing with complex travel requirements and complex itineraries. Eventually, you're going to need to do an interline. You're going to want to go somewhere that your preferred airline can't take you. And that's especially true, I think, of corporate travelers, but not exclusively. There are lots of recreational travelers and VFR travelers who need to go to places that can't easily be reached from their starting point. So I would say that one of the messages coming from this is that the whole industry, and I don't want to point fingers at any particular segment of the industry, but the whole industry needs to take this issue seriously and apply some serious brain power to solving it.
And I can't agree with you more. And in fact, if anybody is out there listening to this, I'm highly motivated and very well prepared to help people to achieve this. And I think T2RL would also support that initiative, is that we feel that this is in fact a serious impediment to the adoption of NDC.
Okay, just for a moment, let's just talk about a couple of things that seem to work better with NDC. And one of those was an aspect of servicing, which is around reissues, rebookings, and a couple of our interviewees did say, actually, this works better now in NDC than it worked in the old world. So I think that's a sign of hope and a sign of some things at least moving in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the travel sellers we spoke to were very positive about, you know, some of the process improvements they're experiencing and the effect that that can have on productivity and in the long term training requirements for their staff, right? So where in the past, a travel agent would have needed to complete several steps in order to process a change and a reissue in a booking, sending the requirements to the airline and getting the priced answer back that's guaranteed with no chance of ADM, which is an agency debit memo or a sort of fine that travel agencies can receive when they incorrectly price things. That's a definite improvement. There were several other areas that travel sellers commented on as working better, and we go into those and detail them in the report.
Okay, so just to wrap up this conversation, I just want to touch on the next big thing that's coming along, which is the transition of the industry to offer an order, which we at T2RL have been talking about for some time, and we think it's inevitable. We're certainly working with a number of airlines who are putting RFPs into the market for order management systems and so on. My impression was that the travel sellers have not yet been involved in the conversations about that. And if there's a single lesson to take from this that we can shout from the rooftops, it's, for God's sake, airlines, get your travel sellers involved in your discussions about when you're going to introduce offer and order management.
Yeah, absolutely. We heard that loud and clear. Constructive dialogue is absolutely the way to go. Some of the travel sellers were rather well informed about offer order settle deliver and have been following along sort of from maybe the sidelines or trying to get involved in conversations already, but watching it with high attention. Others were not well informed at all and were really hoping that someone was going to start reaching out to them and talking about what the implications were, whether that be airlines directly or some of the governing bodies like IATA or a combination of both is probably to be debated. But the one lesson that we learned from NDC implementations is that there needs to be upfront constructive dialogue and understanding of what the desired outcomes are and how can people actually align so that the desired outcomes for all parties make this a successful project.
Yeah, and I think this is where IATA and the various travel agency associations have really got to justify their existence almost by getting together and getting that constructive dialogue going.
Absolutely.
You've kind of touched a live wire with me here on this subject, because I think that the current infrastructure of the industry is actually part of the impediment. And I think that we all agree that there should be greater cooperation. But I think that cooperation needs to be far more open and more balanced than the current ways that it's managed. Because you have some of the big tech players who are in some organizations. You have the agency groups who tend to have that kind of singular view. You look at GBTA trying to do this across the board. But I think we need to really look very carefully that the order is the basis of everything we do. And the PNR. Look what we have done and made the PNR jump through so many hoops. It's no longer fit for purpose. And we must accept that. What I would love to see is that there is a real adoption of orders, but not in just another variation of something else that the industry comes up with without thinking about it, but also bear in mind of how orders are working elsewhere outside of the airline and travel industry. An order is something, a complex order, or even a singular order in a digital product or a physical product. These have become so much more sophisticated as a result of electronic commerce, and we don't seem to be able to take advantage of that. Whereas before, the go back 30 years, and the travel industry led that. That's not the case anymore. And I think we need to learn a lot more from outside of the industry rather than just living in our own echo chamber inside the industry. So if I would advocate for something, it is, hey, everybody, we all need to get up with the offer, order, settle, and deliver. I would love for there to be an additional S in there, meaning service, because I think that's part of it. So for me, it's two S's in the middle. I think that we also have to recognize that in the past, there wasn't a willingness of people to adopt. And so there's been natural resistance and friction to this. And I think we have an opportunity, in thinking positively, of how OOSD will in fact move the whole industry on and reduce these frictions, reduce these barriers. But we have huge hurdles to overcome. And I believe the only way to do that is in cooperation.
Yeah, and I would absolutely agree with that. And not just cooperation in the sense of getting together and talking about the issues, but cooperation in the sense of ensuring that the benefits of the changes we make are shared equitably across the industry. It's become a little adversarial in some cases. We've seen various court cases, usually in North America where the lawyers rule. But I don't want to see airlines and travel agencies or airlines and consumer organizations facing each other in court. I want to see them facing each other across a conference table, sorting out the issues. If we could advocate for anything, I think it would be that.
You know, having been involved with at least one of those cases involving an airline and a GDS, I can echo that statement. It would be far better if we were able to achieve this through cooperation. And I believe that there is, the pandemic maybe has made people think about that in a more positive way. Because I think prior to 2020, there was definitely no indication of solving it. Now I think that there is. People have matured, they have understand more of the issues. And I'm hopeful, but hope is not a strategy, as we like to say.
It may not be a strategy, but it's probably quite a good way to wind up this conversation, which could go on for hours. In fact, Timothy and Eula and I have been in conversations over the last couple of months that have gone on for many hours with some of our travel seller friends. But for this evening or this morning, where Eula is, and Timothy, I think, I'd like to bring this to a conclusion. There's still clearly an awful lot to talk about. Some of that talking will happen at the T2RL Engage conference in September in London, and I hope that as many people are listening to this as are able will come to that conference. We will certainly have a session on the subject we've been talking about today. Along with many other interesting and enlightening sessions. We will be publishing the report that comes out of the 13 interviews we've been talking about in the next couple of weeks. So look out for that if you're able to and if you're interested to follow up on this. And in general, stay in touch with T2RL at t2rl.net because we will be following these subjects for the rest of this year and probably for several more years to come. So for right now, I'd just like to thank Timothy O'Neill Dunn, our special guest on this podcast, and Eula in Auckland. And thanks to everyone for listening.
And thank you for inviting me. I do appreciate it.
Thanks, Ian. Thanks, Timothy.